Welcome to this special edition of the Northern Business Podcast. Today, we're recording our programme live at the Tees Valley Business Club, the Business Club event at Wynyard. Now, as ever, the Northern Business Podcast is a regular podcast for people in the North who run businesses and make things happen. We're sponsored by Virtue Motors, which has dealerships all over the North of England for cars and also is one of the biggest provider of vans and commercial vehicles in the UK. Thank you, Virtue Motors, for supporting us today. I'm co-presenting with Josh Havakin. Josh, what do you think of this fantastic venue?
Oh, well, Wynyard Hall is always a lovely venue. It's always even better to be here with Tees Valley Business Club. So looking forward to a great evening, hearing about the successes of 2024 in the North East.
Well, let's start by finding out about the event.
Well, I think to answer that, we should probably come to the chair of Tees Valley Business Club, Jane Reynolds. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
So this event is all about celebrating the successes of the club members during 2024. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what's going to happen tonight?
Yes, well, we're delighted to be here at the beautiful venue of Wynyard Hall. And I think it's been quite a year for businesses. There's been lots of ways in which people have been waiting for things to happen. We've had the waiting for the election and we've then had the waiting for the budget. So there's been lots of ways in which growth has maybe faltered slightly because people have been waiting to know what is afoot. And I think now, last evening, we had a Bank of England dinner here, actually, at Wynyard Hall, where we had 24 businesses come together and to really discuss and a very honest conversation around where they find themselves now after that very important budget. And I think around the table, there was a lot of concern around NIC contributions and the lowering sort of like of the threshold as well, and how they were going to put together a package that made their business work and maybe changing their business model. And some of those people were thinking, well, with the profits that were made, a lot of that was going to go to the individuals and their employees, whereas now they're thinking that might not be the case. Maybe half of that or maybe some of that might now have to go in order to pay those extra bills. So, but the mood of that evening was we are business leaders and we are in this because we love what we do. And so therefore, if we are strong and we show true leadership, we then instill that in our managers and our managers then instill that in our workers. So I think there's been lots of shocks, but today and this evening is all about celebrating the positives that have happened here in the Tees Valley.
And of course, looking forward to 2025, it sounds like from what you've just said that maybe the word of the year next year is going to be resilience.
Absolutely. I think what I have seen over the years from the businesses within the Tees Valley is it's first of all the transition and what does that mean for our business and where will we go with that? Certainly a lot of businesses, there is a lot of growth. Mm-hmm. There is, we have a dinner next week with Lord Houchin to discuss about funding and where that funding and can we all come together and can we be joined up? Because we know in the Tees Valley about the potential that's here. We want to get to a wider audience and we want to bring everybody together and maybe have a linear process that says we Tees Valley Business Club are open for business and we're ready to be invested in.
I'm going to add another word there. It's going to be collaboration in 2025 as well as resilience, eh?
I think you're good on that. I think that sounds just about right.
Well, joining Jane as well, Joss, is Caroline Theobald. Now, Caroline, you are one of the North's greatest figures in business and you were acknowledged as such by the Entrepreneurs Forum this year. So it's been a big year for you, hasn't it? Tell me about what your impressions are of the year in business. And it's not just Tees Valley, because you operate in Northumberland with Connect Northumberland and the Bridge Club in Newcastle.
Thank you. Well, I'll pick up Josh's word and Jane's word, which is about collaborate, which is I work across the North because people working together make better things happen. I was thrilled to bits by the Entrepreneurs Forum Award, which came completely unexpectedly, you know. But I suppose that other word that was used by Josh and Jane was resilience. And it just shows that if you carry on carrying on as a person in business, you eventually get to where you want to go. And one of the high points actually this year for me has been as a judge of the Spectator Innovator of the Year Award, where there's, I mean, you know, I specialise in early stage businesses. Fantastic business called Raisin, run by a woman called Judith McMinn from County Durham, which prevents head injury from rotator injury.
And contact sports.
It is. It's an absolutely phenomenal business. So actually seeing that at the Spectator Awards in London, I thought, whoa, this is amazing.
I also saw that business last week in London. There was a big event at the Cheese Grater building, which I was proud to be on the panel of, talking about the Northeast. And she was one of the testimonies of great business innovation. And so it needs acknowledgement. But it was good to see those businesses outside of the north of England and going down to London to make the case.
Absolutely, and it's always been that thing, isn't it? London's a long way away, and we need to... There's no such thing as humble bragging, is there?
No.
We need to be shouting up the Northeast and actually really talking about the great things that go on here, because people do business with people. That's why the Tees Valley Business Club is such a success, because 100-plus businesses will be here tonight, all talking honestly about the challenges that there have been. It's been a tough old year, Graham.
Well, look, we're going to talk to some of those businesses, aren't we, Josh?
So awfully quite a few.
Stay watching, stay listening. Our first guest from a business at the Tees Valley Business Club event on this special Northern Business Podcast episode is Sheldon Coburn, who's Head of Operations for Simon Bales Peugeot.
That's right.
It's a long-standing firm in the Teesside area, isn't it?
It is, Graham. 45 years, actually, this year. We celebrate our 45th anniversary.
And what do you think the reason behind such longevity is? Because most car dealerships, and this is a small chain of three branches, have amalgamated with larger businesses now. Why is the Simon Bales brand maintained itself?
I think in the Northeast, Simon Bales' name is synonymous with Peugeot. It's been a really successful business. It's grown from strength to strength, a bit like the lion from Peugeot, over the years. As I say, we celebrate our 45th anniversary this year, and I think that's down mainly to how we look after people in the Northeast. We really, really have a loyal customer base, and I think that's the secret of the company's success.
Of course, it's not just the Northeast, is it, Sheldon? Everywhere I go, I seem to see vans with Simon Bales across the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good point. We sell a huge amount of commercial vehicles nationally, and I challenge anyone to look at vans on the motorway, on the M1 or the A1, have a spy at the number plates, and you will undoubtedly see Simon Bales at the bottom of a huge proportion of them.
Now, one of our clients and sponsors for this programme is Virtue Motors, a larger dealership chain. They know Peugeot as well. But when it comes to dealing with the current market, all car dealership chains are facing pressure from the change to EV. Is this something that's intimidating to the sector? Is it something that is going to be a struggle?
I think a lot of this is around education for both our teams who work around our dealerships, but also for the wider general public as well. There is still a certain amount of intrepidation with EVs, whether that be range anxiety, but particularly residual value seems to be the hot topic at the moment in terms of depreciation. And I think we've just got to educate people. I had an actual amnesty at Simon Bales Group and said, let's score ourselves out of 10 for our knowledge on EV. And there were some frightening scores that shouldn't have been there, 2s out of 10 and 3s out of 10. But it was an amnesty and the clues in the words. I wasn't going to jump up and down. It was very much about, okay, this is the line in the sand. Let's educate everybody. So we had just that, an education session. And we ended up with more 8s and 9s and 10s out of 10 so that everybody knows now what a kilowatt hour is. And to take away that range anxiety. And myself, I've just been down to Cornwall in an EV, virtually down to Land's End and back, with no problems whatsoever. So I was happy to share that story as well.
All right, because Simon Bales is a little bit of a pioneer when it comes to EVs.
Yeah.
I remember another Tees Valley business called, strangely enough, you tell me a little bit about a pilot program that you had a few years ago.
That's right, Josh. Yeah, many years ago, sort of a very, very early adopter of being involved, Simon, with Newcastle University. And there was various different vehicles that went off to the Forestry Commission and things, which, for example, is a great way of using EVs so we don't disturb the animals and things. So there's all sorts of different EVs sent into the police, fire service and Forestry Commission. And a lot of analysis was done on those vehicles, battery degradation back in the early stages, just to see what things looked like. So yeah, as a company, we've been really, really involved from an early stage.
Well, Sheldon, look, people are coming now for the Business Studs meeting. You'll see, hear them mingling in the background. You can probably hear some sounds. We'll talk to some more business owners and business representatives in the next few minutes.
We're joined by our next guest now at Tees Valley Business Club's celebration of 2024. And, of course, this is the Northern Business Podcast. Although we're in Tees Valley tonight, the Business Podcast does cover the whole of the north of England. And we've got Ivor Hobbs from C&D Access, which is based in Longventon. Thank you very much for joining us, Ivor.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, C&D Access, what is that?
So, yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me. C&D Access provides turnkey solutions to specifically the oil and gas industry. We do engineering, fabrication, pipelines, inspections, so a whole range of solutions to the engineering sector.
Well, the oil and gas sector, it goes to lots of diversity at the moment, doesn't it? Because you've got a lot of traditional skills that have been in the north of England, and they're now being used to other industries. So, for instance, if you're looking at hydrogen, eventually you'll need this kind of skill because it's got to be done in a safe environment.
Absolutely, not just hydrogen, but the offshore wind sector, we're very involved with that. Even pipelines, water pipelines, we're involved with that as well. What's incredible, you mentioned the diversity, but things like drone using drones to do the inspections, rope access, where traditionally you'd have to use scaffolding, those sort of things. So technologically, we're using that to our advantage as well.
So in essence, you're a key part of this transition away from oil and gas into renewables and green techs. You're really important as part of that.
Absolutely, but like I say, it's all about integrating it into the various solutions where we're needed.
Well, the business, I presume, is privately owned.
Correct.
What do you think are the prospects for the next year? It's you're in charge of quality, but I'm sure that won't suffer, but there's a lot of cost pressure, particularly with the results of the budget in October.
There are cost pressures, but I do think, based on the outlook that we've currently got, that things are looking really, really positive for us. I think it's because of the niche product and services that we do sell. So I think from our point of view, the future is looking very, very bright. So let's see what happens.
Wouldn't know to lead it on.
I know, it's nice to hear some confidence going into 2025 after a bit of a tumultuous 24. Thank you very much for coming on, Adam.
Thank you for having me indeed.
Northern Business Podcast is live from the Tees Valley Business Club's last event of the year at Wynyard Hall near Stockton. We, by the way, want to come and visit your event. If you were watching or listening and you have an event that we could come to live, maybe a couple of times a year we'll take our cameras out and about. So we're recording live of Tees Valley Business Club's last event of 2024. Joining us is David Land. David, you are one of the people on the responsible for the Northeast STEM Foundation, a charity promoting STEM education. I saw you just a couple of weeks ago writing to the Daily Telegraph. What was all that about?
That's true, Graham. Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity that it's not just about promoting and getting young people into STEM-based education, but it's about having that political voice. And we've had that opportunity this week. We've had a letter published in the Telegraph and in the Metro to try and get the government to realise that there's not a one-size-fits-all here in education. It's about engaging industry with education so that the kids just aren't getting trained. What they are doing is they're getting a skill for life and they're working life ready.
And you want them to get that kind of skill a little earlier than post-school, don't you? You want
them
to
course we do.
The school.
From us in the STEM Foundation, we're talking about primary schools, but things like the UTC in South Durham in Newton Aycliffe Business Park is 14 to 18. So the earlier we can get in, the better it is, because you can start to get them to think about their career.
And of course, David, if somebody was working in a STEM-related business right now, and they want to maybe get involved with Eddie STEM, how would they go about doing that? What kind of engagement are you looking for?
Well, I think for us, we do it with the schools. In terms of, we start at primary schools, we set up STEM days. So it could be at Hartlepool College, it could be at Yarm School, it could be at Middlesbrough College, it could be at the UTC, it could be at Sunderland. So across the region, there are loads of opportunities. And what the Northeast STEM Foundation does is it makes sure we can get the pupils to those events, because that's tricky for the schools to be able to do financially.
And of course, you are a very busy man. It's not just the Northeast STEM Foundation you're involved in. And I see you've got a new role at the Auckland Project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was completely out of the blue, and it's a really nice role to take up. I've been involved with Bishop Auckland through the Future High Street and Stronger Towns funding through the government. And I got to know Jonathan Ruffer, the philanthropist that's been helping Bishop Auckland, and he asked me if I could commercialise the project. So they've got a big curatorial offer, but they need to balance that off with commercial ventures. So my task now is to try and help move that forward and help make the awareness of what the Auckland project does in its all events. So the task is there and the challenge has been taken.
You're going to have a very busy 2025, Ren.
I think so, yeah. I said it might only be a couple of 3 days a week, but I think it's going to be 5 or 6 days a week. So now I'm looking forward to it.
And people, by the way, our viewers and listeners outside the northeast of England, it's worth getting in the car, driving to the up the A1 to Bishop Auckland, because there's lots of really high-end attractions at Auckland Castle.
It is, and this year Bishop Auckland is trying to become Christmas town for the northeast. Last week we opened our light show, which is a glow, which is 1.5 miles of a walk through our medieval forest and parklands, where you get to see all the lights and Santas and things like that. The palace is completely illuminated outside, and through the day the palace is now being fully dressed, so you can experience Christmas at the castle. And on top of that, we have Santa's Railway, where we have Santa's Express that started last weekend in the Dales, where you can go from Stanhope to Walsingham, and you can enjoy all the fun of Christmas with the elves and Santa himself.
Well, there we have it. There's a winter wonderland going on in Bishop Auckland.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll be sure to get myself along, and if you're watching and listening before the end of Christmas, please do get yourself along. We'll speak to our next guest very soon.
Our next guest is one of the people presenting at the Tees Valley Business Club today, and he's talking about his business and his business journey, and a real positive story it is. Radha, tell me, well, first of all, what's your full name, and tell me the name of the business.
Hi, I'm Radha Krishna Injam. I'm also called Rauji in the business circles. My business name is Rauji's Enterprises Limited. It's started purely for the sake of net zero. We want to implement something where we can achieve net zero, especially within the limited company first, and then replicate it across the whole of the neighbourhoods.
And what do you sell? What products can people buy?
We implement a circular economy model. For a normal customer on the road, we're just a food vendor. So we sell fresh, delicious food, freshly made every day. But we propagate reducing food waste. So we are a subscription-based takeaway.
Subscription-based takeaway?
Yes.
Is it what, sandwiches, burgers?
I think we do sandwiches, burgers, parmos, curries and rice.
We are in Teesside, we have to do parmos, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's localised to every location. So we've invested in social club culture, so we've taken up an old social club in South Bank and converted the whole infrastructure, which can be switched to hydrogen whenever it's safe and sound to do so.
Well, it's great to see someone who's willing to take that on, because there's a lot of myths about hydrogen and about the potential dangers of hydrogen, and it prevents experimentation. But there's a lot of benefit in terms of emissions if we could get hydrogen to be more accepted.
Well, someone has to start somewhere, and especially with Teesside being the pioneers in implementing new ideas in the whole of UK, I'm quite happy that I've invested in Teesside. I've been here for the last 3 years and I met some amazing people, especially Teesside University, the Net Zero Innovation Centre. I'm in collaboration with them. The model has been tested. The circular economy model to convert a customer into an activist is definitely tested over 12 to 18 months. The subscription model, the technology that we're going to bring in, the food vending machines or the trailers, they're going to be powered by fuel cells, which are powered by hydrogen. The three constraints when you're dealing with hydrogen are production, storage, and transportation. By bringing in all the three together, we can avoid the risk of security, safety, and all that. So the infrastructure that we managed to achieve is going to bring all the three things in one place.
Now, you mentioned you're working with Teesside University.
That's right.
And it is a pioneer, especially in the circular economy. I know that there's a few different things that they've been working on recently. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the project? How are you collaborating with them?
It started literally as a, you know, hydrogen training. I was sitting with Mark Wilson of ETC, the previous governor.
Yeah.
We were working on how should we make hydrogen into the normal usage into every household quickly. You know, if it can't be into the households, at least into the commercial usage. Having our own heating systems which are powered by hydrogen and all that. I did a 2-day course funded by Tees Valley Combined Authority at the time. During that time, we had an amazing conversation. It's like, what's the best way to do it? It's a step-by-step approach that we've taken. And it's the confidence of the individual on the street that needs to be bought in. And the best way to do it is by feeding him through food. And that's how the whole circular economy model was literally defined in seconds. But the implementation and testing of it, that took a longer time, yeah.
Well, it's very interesting. It seems that Teesside University, and I suppose the thing that we've seen here tonight and what was mentioned in our opening interview, was all about collaboration. It seems you've got that from across the classroom almost.
Yeah. I mean, collaboration, not just the university, I'm with the local businesses as well. I think most of the club knows me. I'm the person who dresses up white to the full. We love it. We love it, by the way. It just brings a bit of je ne sais quoi to the whole event. Yeah. Now, can I just ask one last question?
Yes. And that is, you're obviously well and truly embedded into the principle of hydrogen.
Yes.
This is my personal view, that sometimes when we're going to electrify everything, we may be just hitting... We're burying ourselves in a technology, particularly of vehicles, that might be outdated, as hydrogen can just catch up. And actually, there's a lot of potential in hydrogen that is, at the moment, untapped and could be released.
Yep.
To give everyone more choice and less costs.
I agree. I mean, it's the same way that we were when we started cars initially 100 years ago. You know, we were throwing stones and spears at them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing any technology that we want to bring in. You know, the human behavior is always like, is it safe? Is it going to be okay? There's a long way to go, but collaboration is the best way to do it at this point of time.
And to prove it in a kitchen, making a burger, that's a pretty good idea.
That's a wonderful way of doing it. I know the collaboration is already achieved. You know, we got people in America, in Scotland, in Germany, in India. Everyone is working together. We're working on fuel cells. I've recently been to India to set up a manufacturing or work out the manufacturing units there. But it will be pioneered. It will be driven from Teesside.
Yeah, because hydrogen and Teesside, you've got all these. There's a wind turbine farm just offshore at Redcar and a battery farm. And my own firm has been helping to put the case that they can fund power a hydrogen catalyzer, so it's net zero hydrogen. And then, of course, as I remember, it's not really something that everyone talks about on maps, but there's large input of North Sea gas comes in the Teesside, and if you were ever to blend it with hydrogen,
you could do it here. Yeah, I mean, the stat is amazing. The 60% of the world's hydrogen is going to be in Teesside, whether it's going to be manufactured, stored, or used. It's going to be through Teesside. So no wonder I'm here. I want to be there when it comes to implementing the hydrogen economy. It's safe. We are burning hydrogen on the seventh floor in Teesside University. Where else can... I mean, I want to do it on the ground floor. It's already happening for the last 7 years. So it's just having the right people on board and having the right mindset. It's Teesside. The people here are amazing. You know, we are innovative, we are inventive, and we are ideally hardworking. If it's not going to happen in the Teesside of the world, it will not happen anywhere else.
Couldn't agree more.
It's a great place to end the podcast, isn't it? We're on a high note. Look, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
I might do a little bit of promotion for my business, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, I tell you what, that's what I like to see.
Yeah.
Enterprise. The business is called
Rowdy's Enterprises Limited, and takeaway is going to be named as KeyTKey. So it's an email-based subscription model. So initially, you just need to mention TVBC for your subscription for a free one-month membership. After that, you can use it for staff benefits. You can use it for your catering events and whatever you want. But it will cost you £1 per head for each month.
And Graham's going to let me expense a Palmer from you then, I think.
Definitely. I want one as well. And by the way, if you want to come on and promote your business, like Radha just did, then please get in touch with us via LinkedIn or Recognition PR. You can come on the Northern Business Podcast. We're planning next year's editions already. Thank you to our producers and also to Robin Campbell, who's been our technical operator here at Wynyard Hall.